Sometimes love compels us to do things that we would rather not do. This is something that I learned from my grandmother almost 20 years ago. My grandfather had been in the hospital for a few weeks due to blood clots, clots that were so bad that they had needed to amputate one of his legs. Sensing that we were near the end, my parents called me and told me that I should come home from California where I had been living. The morning after I arrived, I drove to the hospital to see my grandfather, and I rode up in the elevator with several doctors who got out on the same floor that I got out on. They turned left, and after I realized where I needed to be going, I also turned left, and then followed them down the hall and into my grandfather's room to see my grandmother standing there at his bedside. I had somehow managed to come at the exact moment the doctors chose to deliver the grim news that even with all of the treatment they had already done, my grandpa's blood clots just would not stop. And they couldn't figure out why. I silently watched my grandma as she absorbed this news and then considered what to do next. And then I watched her as she calmly told the doctors that even if my grandpa were to suddenly, miraculously wake up out of this, his quality of life would not be what he would want it to be. And perhaps most of all, I think she knew that they had tried so much and it just wasn't working. So she made the decision to stop treatment and enter my grandpa in a hospice, when I'm sure that she wanted nothing more than to keep him here and to hold on to him for as long as she could. Yet it was because of her deep love for him, she knew that she needed to let him go. Sometimes love compels us to do what we'd rather not do, including saying goodbye to the person that we've loved for over 50 years, or say goodbye to our 3-month-old son after hiding him before making a papyrus basket plastered with bitumen and pitch to send him down the river, hopefully out of the hands of those who would kill him. Most of us know this story. The story begins with us finding out that there is a new pharaoh who has risen in Egypt, one who didn't know Joseph and was afraid of the Hebrew people and their numbers, afraid that they may one day rise up and take over. Like a scared animal feeling trapped, this pharaoh decides to take care of the problem by eliminating it, quite literally, killing off any baby boy born to a Hebrew woman. And he enlists the midwives to do his dirty work. Yet some midwives, like Shiphrah and Puah, refuse to kill the boys that they deliver, telling Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. Which may be how Moses survived, and his mom was able to hide him for 3 months. 3 months of ensuring her baby boy was tucked away anytime an Egyptian official came near. 3 months of trying to shush his cries before they were heard. 3 months of anxious concern anytime he began to fuss. 3 months of worry about how she could continue to protect him. But then that moment came when she realized she could not hide him any longer. She could not protect him anymore. And while I suspect that it was a choice made as much out of desperation and hope as much as it is for her deep love for him, Moses' mom chooses to send her precious baby boy down the river to what she hoped might be life. Sometimes love compels us to do things we'd usually not do, even say goodbye to the one that we'd rather not give up. Love compels us to do so much we'd rather not do, even if it's not quite that drastic. Not too long ago, I was at the vet with my youngest beagle, Amelia, when the doctor commented how cute she is. My immediate response was, it's the only thing that saves her. And while there is some truth to that statement, the real reason is because I love her. I love her, which means I won't give her up when she revenge pees on her brother's dog bed or my rug, or when she steals some of my food, or when she was younger and chewed up any number of things that she shouldn't have. It is because I love her that I will get up with her multiple times during the night and take her outside when she isn't feeling well, even if I would just prefer to sleep. But this kind of love doesn't just extend to our dogs. Love is the force that compels us to invest so much in our kids, even to the point of giving up almost everything for them, and to devote endless hours to caring for an aging parent, or to forgive our spouse for yet again forgetting to unload the dishwasher. Love for our neighbor is the force that compels us to wear masks, distance ourselves, and get vaccinated when we can. Love is also the force that compels us to establish good boundaries with others and choose to take care of ourselves when the world dictates that we would run ourselves ragged for the sake of work and family. Love compels us to do so many things, sometimes big and drastic, like giving up our kids, but often just to make small, everyday decisions to care for ourselves and one another. And every experience of that love is an experience of God. Love that causes the Pharaoh's daughter to take pity on the Hebrew boy she found floating in the reeds at the river, then pull him up out of the reeds and ensure his safety and care. Love that compelled her to raise him as her own and to give him his name, Moses, even when it was her own father who wanted this baby dead. Love that makes us take risks just as Moses' mother and Pharaoh's daughter did. Love that is a force beyond our expectations and has the power to free those who are oppressed and enslaved. It is love that enters death and the worst parts of our lives with us so that we are never alone, knowing how it will be to experience the pain, suffering, and grief again, never giving up on us. Love exists both within us and beyond us, and love will always remain, because God will always remain, opening us up to what is beyond us, freeing us from our fear, and even in our most desperate moments, will choose to stay with us, no matter what decision we make.